We'll call the meeting to order. We'll have the secretary please call the roll. The time is at 8:15 a.m., January 28th.
Chairman Williams.
Here.
Vice Chairman Hudson. Representative Bundy. Representative Carney.
Here.
Representative Davies.
Here.
Representative Finkelstein.
Here.
Representative Green.
Here.
Representative James. Representative Mulder.
Here.
We have a quorum present. Before we get started, I would like to call the meetings of the committee's attention to the packet of information that you have in front of you from the United States Department of Commerce, National Oceanic and Atmosphere Administration, National Marine Fisheries Service. At our meeting on Senate Bill 132 last Friday, the committee asked Phil Smith to provide some additional information about the individual fishing quota program. This is the information sent in response to the request. We will probably take up Senate Bill 132 again next Friday. We are on teleconference this morning with Anchorage, Cordova, Fairbanks, Sitka, Ketchikan, Homer, Valdez, Kenai, Soldotna, so I'd like to welcome everyone at those sites. Today we will be hearing committee substitute for Senate Bill 153, Resources Amended, which is a version of the Senate Bill 153, which passed the Senate. This is the first hearing on this in the House. Before we begin taking testimony on the bill, I would like to point out that my office has drafted a proposed amendment to the bill for consideration of the committee. I have worked very closely with the sponsor, Senator Robin Taylor, throughout the drafting process of this amendment. Although, unfortunately, Senator Taylor can't be here today himself, he personally assured me that he supports the amendment and his aide, Joe Ambrose, will be testifying on the bill. After Mr. Ambrose makes his opening sponsor statement and the committee has asked any questions you wish of him regarding the bill itself, I will ask my Resources Committee aide, Mary McDowell, to explain the draft amendment. After that, we can get into agencies and public testimony on the bill and amendment. I'm sure that our committee work on this bill will take more than one meeting. I know that the proposed amendment particularly will generate a good deal of discussion and debate. I have proposed the amendment in an effort to address concerns that have been expressed about existing situations and how those might have been aggravated by passage of this bill unamended. I think we all recognize that there are some problems or perceived problems, but we'll be differing ideas about how best to address them. I think it's worthwhile to get some concepts and ideas on the table to discuss. I hope that we will start some constructive dialogue on whether there are some things we can do to get a handle on these problems without negative impacts. I'm certainly open to ideas about modifications of the amendment or the approach it proposes. Mr. Ambrose, would you please make your comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Joe Ambrose. I work for Senator Robin Taylor. Senator Taylor is undergoing surgery in Bellingham this morning. Was unable to be here. I would like to read his statement in the record and respond to any questions the committee may have on Senate Bill 153. The non-resident sport fishery has experienced phenomenal growth. There were 132,008 non-resident sport fishing licenses issued in 1987. By 1992, that number had swollen to 208,516. A large percentage of that fish is boxed up and sent home. Some anglers take advantage of the cumbersome custom processing offered by a limited number of facilities, which must track individual fish through the process. It is time-consuming and an expensive form of processing that discourages value-added processing here in Alaska. This legislation was introduced at the suggestion of commercial processors, native corporations, economic development groups, and other interested parties. It would allow for modification of the current regulations and would have a positive impact in both the seafood processing and tourism industries. Senate Bill 153 would allow the sport fishermen to exchange raw fish for processed fish of the same species. Such an exchange program would generate new jobs in the processing industry, adding to the economic base of coastal communities throughout Alaska. Senate Bill 153 contains provisions to maintain the separation of sport caught fish from commercially and personal use caught seafood. Only in the initial round would processors be allowed to exchange commercially caught processed fish for raw sport fish. After that, sport fish received in the exchange would be processed and used only in future exchanges. Senate Bill 153 contains language assuring the quality of both raw and processed fish used in the program. SB 153 would provide a mechanism by which fish currently being shipped out raw can be processed in Alaska, with all of the inherent economic benefits that go along with adding value to an Alaskan resource before it leaves the state. This bill passed the Senate in a 17-3 vote last May. Senator Taylor indicated he had no objections to consideration of the proposed amendment and in fact supports the concept, but he does object to the consideration of the proposal if it raises questions about the bill itself, still believes in the merits of the original legislation and hopes that that does not get lost in the debate.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Ambrose? Representative Davis?
Just a couple things. You know, I think the overall intent of this legislation seems pretty straightforward and pretty productive, but I do have a couple of concerns that maybe you could help me with. Just generally, it seems like there might be a concern with a number of different people bringing in raw fish to be processed and then the health, potential health problems attached to that. What kind of measures do you see being taken to assure that the fish that's exchanged and then goes back on the market is indeed wholesome as it says it should be?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davies, we work with the Department of Environmental Conservation and a lot of this bill has to do with those issues, and they will have the oversight. They have the oversight of the processors now. And the bill was amended at the request of the DEC. If you go to page 5, line 10, it refers to only wholesome fish being accepted. That the definition of the word wholesome was debated for an extended period of time in the Senate Resources Committee, and I believe that committee got comfortable with what DEC defined as wholesome. There was a legitimate concern because not only would the person doing the exchange want to be assured of a quality product that he takes home, mm-hmm. but also the processor needs to be assured that the product being delivered and processed is quality. Again, there is a business decision to be made there. It would seem that the processor would be reluctant to take a fish that isn't up to their normal standards in exchange. They can refuse. I mean, it's a business transaction. And if I take a fish into you and you're not going to be able to use it later on, or your reputation becomes such that you are using sub-quality fish, word gets around real fast.
Okay, one other question on that. On page 6, line 7, it stipulates that this exchange doesn't constitute a sale or barter, and then I wonder how you see this process. When a person turns in raw fish, they get less product in exchange for the value-added effort of packing it. Is that kind of how that works? And do we? I guess one of my concerns is, do we lose the opportunity sometime in the future by doing this to tax a value-added effort?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davies, actually, you're talking two separate processes. The processor would be allowed to charge for this service.
Oh, okay.
I mean, obviously the processor is going to want to make some money, so it's not a barter. The bill calls for regulations that establishes the volume of raw fish to processed fish. So, does that answer your question?
Let me ask you specifically about it, if I might. So that exchange is meant to reflect just simply the loss of the
weight
product in the processing?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then you answered the other part, then they would be charged for the service, then. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
For the record, Representative Hudson joined us at 8:20. Are there any more questions for Mr. Ambrose? If not, could you stand by, please?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any more comments?
Just again to emphasize, Mr. Chairman, that I talked to Senator Taylor again last night. He supports the proposed amendment. He does not want to see the bill get lost in the debate, okay?
I understand, and we will take care of the senator. How is the senator doing?
They should be putting him under right about now. Surgery's at 9 o'clock. Well, actually, he should be in surgery now at 9 o'clock Seattle time.
Thank you. Now I'll ask Committee Aide to introduce Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mary McDowell, House Resources Committee Aide to Representative Williams. Senate Bill 153 makes the transformation of raw fish into processed fish quicker, simpler, and less expensive for sports fishermen. While that convenience can be very positive, it also has some potential drawbacks. The main concern is its potential for encouraging the taking of larger and larger quantities of fish per fisherman, particularly by visitors from out of state. Another is whether this bill opens the door to abuse by making it simple to circumvent bag and possession limits, which now pertain only to fresh, unprocessed fish. We've heard growing concern from resident sportsmen, subsistence and commercial fishermen, and even charter guides themselves about the rapid growth in the guided sport fishery and the often unknown impacts of that growth on the resources. We've all heard complaints about the huge stacks of boxes of sport fish in airports. While the quantities of fish being taken may not really be as large as many residents fear, there is certainly a perception among Alaskans that visitors are taking home more than is really necessary to fulfill their own needs and to keep Alaska's guided sport fishery and the tourism industry healthy and growing. Senate Bill 153 does not create those concerns, but it does intensify them by removing a current disincentive to taking maximum bag limits for the maximum amount of available time. That, in turn, may cause increased concern and bad public relations for the guided sport fishery and even increased pressure and hassles for guides themselves, whose clients may demand more and more fish. This is where the draft amendment fits in. The goal is to take the negatives of the exchange provisions and turn them into positives. The amendment proposes to adopt the provisions regarding the exchange of raw fish for processed fish, but delay their implementation until the regulations have been established throughout the state to set the limit of raw and processed sport fish that a person may have in their possession in the field or in transit to their permanent place of residence. This means that once fish reaches your home, it no longer counts in your possession limit. You can go back out for more. These newly defined possession limits are not mandated by this amendment, but if the Board of Fisheries does not expand possession limits to include processed fish, the provisions regarding the ability to trade in raw fish for processed fish would not take effect. I should point out that the Senate recognized these problems as well, and although they didn't choose to amend the bill to deal with them, they did pass a letter of intent, which is in your packets, which asks that the Board of Fisheries consider adoption of export limitations and redefinition of possession limits. The concept of an export limit is often discussed as a means of getting a handle on the question of large quantities being taken out of state, but an export limit is probably impossible to do without violating federal interstate commerce laws. Even if export limits were possible, the use of in transit to one's permanent place of residence has several advantages. Primarily, it would ease the concerns about whether the Board of Fisheries would set possession limits that are too restrictive. Some have pointed out that export limits as low as one daily bag limit of each species have been proposed at Board of Fisheries meetings, but we need to note that such a thing has never been adopted, only proposed. All Alaskan fishermen would have to operate under the same limits as those taking their catch out of state. So the board would have every reason to make the limits high enough to satisfy the majority of Alaskans. And while many people fear the board process, a determination of appropriate possession limits as proposed by this amendment would not be sport versus commercial issue or even a sport versus guided sport issue. The board's job would be to set a limit that was reasonable to users while preventing abuse and exploitation. The amendment is not likely to be embraced immediately by those guides or lodges who cater to people who want to pay for their trip with fish, but it seems that in the long run, some reasonable caps on what a fisherman can take home will be good for everyone. There would still be no limit to the amount of boating, sightseeing, or catch and release fishing people can do, nor even on how many fish they can catch and eat while they are on their fishing adventures. This only speaks to a determination of the quantity that a fisherman can take home with them at the end. It should be noted that the amendment speaks only to sport-caught fish, so these possession limits would not pertain to fish caught under personal use or subsistence. So Alaskans fishing under those regulations would not lose their ability to bring home larger quantities per trip. Some argue that enforcement of possession limits, which include processed fish, would be difficult to enforce, and that is probably true. However, most people are law-abiding and will comply, so right away, quantities are more under control. There will always be a few pirates who will take more than allowed, but we have laws about possession of narcotics and other difficult to enforce laws on the books. Occasionally, a blatant violation will be discovered and prosecuted and serve as a deterrent to others. Also, under Alaska law, sport fish guides are not allowed to assist a client in any action contrary to Alaska's sport fishing regulations, and so they're not likely to risk aiding anyone from exceeding their legal limits. It's important to note that most coastal states and Canada have possession or export limits, and most are very stringent. Many places have learned that by spreading the quantity out a bit, you can sustain more boats, more guides, and serve more tourists. In summary, this amendment is intended to mitigate potential concerns regarding the idea of instant exchange of raw sport fish for processed fish and to address related policy issues. Representative Williams knows that any suggestion that is not business as usual needs a good deal of discussion and consideration, but felt that it is the legislature's responsibility to provide some leadership in ensuring the orderly, sensible development of sport fishes in Alaska. He's hopeful that everyone will look at this proposal with an open, constructive attitude, and whether the amendment is ultimately adopted or not, it will stimulate some serious thinking about where the state wants to go on these issues. We don't have answers yet to all the questions that are likely to arise regarding this amendment, but we'll be happy to do further research for future meetings if that's what the committee decides to pursue.
You've heard the explanations. Any questions of the committee head, Representative Balder?
Mary, through the chair, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mary, did I correctly hear you say that without some sort of proposed amendment, and allowing the board to adopt regulations, that this bill really couldn't take place?
As the bill is written, the version that came from the Senate, it just kicks in right away. And this, what this amendment does is it delays the effective date. You'd adopt it would be on the books, but the exchange provisions wouldn't kick in until after such time as possession limits were redefined to include the processed fish.
But, okay, dividing that last part, you're saying that the amendment would delay it and would allow the board to redefine it. But otherwise, it would take the bill as currently written would take place straight away, be implemented straight away.
Right.
Okay.
Are there any more questions? No, thank you.
One question. What indication do we have about the board's willingness to take it up quickly?
Through the chair, the board has had versions of export limits put before them in the past, and they've never passed any of it. But one of the provisions of this amendment says that the board may take, for the purpose of fixing this possession limit definition, they can take it out of cycle. And the thinking there is that the board's on a 3-year cycle now, so they take every subject up once every 3 years. And so sport fish regs in each region would come up over the course of the next 3 years. The idea of putting that in there is that if the board opted to hurry this along, the thinking is that next time they're in that region for any purpose, they would discuss that region's possession limits.
But the board is dominated by commercial fishermen who may not be in favor of this provision, and so they might decide not to take it up.
Yes, certainly possible. But I don't know why the board would not take it up when...
please. I think that we do have the support of the commercial fishermen. I have you have in your packets a letter from the Alaska Trawlers Association supporting this committee substitute.
We have heard from every user group wanting some kind of possession limits, commercial sport, guided sport, subsistence. We've heard from all of them.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not taking a position against the amendment. I'm trying to determine what the amendment will do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to Representative Carney, I think probably the commercial fishermen would want this because it would limit the meat hunters. That's what we're trying to get to in this whole bill here. Well, two things, as I understand it, Mr. Chairman, maybe you can help me, Mary, is that what we're really trying to do in this bill is, number one, set up more value-added processing in the state of Alaska, which gives us better accountability, I think, of the catch and the quality of the seafood products that are leaving. And at the same time, through the amendment and through the letter of intent, at any rate, to stop what many people believe is sort of a discriminatory overtaking of... I have personally ran into tourists that have come up here and bragged about how they paid for their entire trip up here and back and all their accommodations, by all of the halibut and all of the salmon and everything else that they've shipped back home. They're meat hunters. They really come up for their, you know, for major meats and take it back home and probably resell it back where they're at there. And I think that's the intent. My only concern, Mr. Chairman, is that by tying the requirement for the limitations of raw and processed in the bill, I'm not totally certain if the board's going to be able to do that, and whether or not that shouldn't be an issue that rides alone. But I want to see the bill passed because I think that the value added is the right idea. It's a creation of small enterprise, small jobs, and or jobs for people in small communities as well.
Mr. Chairman, that was the reason that this bill brought up the subject, because there's already that concern there. This bill aggravates the concern a little bit by pushing it more that direction. Mm-hmm. So it seemed an appropriate time to address that problem. It's kind of a quality for quantity trade-off, that in exchange for the convenience and ease and the increased incentive to take more, we attach a cap. It's kind of the idea, the quality for quantity, convenience, but a little bit of limitation.
Or my concern, I think, is probably the one that Representative Carney expressed, too, and that is that will the board, or I think it was Representative Carney indicated, is the board prepared to, you know, to set up the complicated controls and enforcement process? Or, you know, there has to be some enforcement if you're going to limit the amount of fish that can be shipped. Then there has to be some controls over how that shipment is going to take place and how you're going to enforce it, and if people try to ship more, what happens to it. You see what I'm saying? I'm just looking for the practical side of the issue here.
Right, through the chair,
that's why you put the amendment in.
Other states have managed this, and I haven't talked with the enforcement people in those states, but my understanding that is usually just discussed as it's on the books as a possession limit, what you have with you. If people want to spend the extra money to ship it, that's kind of where we are now. That this bill mainly creates an incentive for people because it's so much cheaper to have it done on the spot and take it with you than to have it custom processed and ship it. So if they have to ship it, if they're going to choose to skirt it by shipping, then the disincentive to hold their limits down goes away. So I don't know that trying to monitor the shipping is as important as monitoring what they take physically within the airport.
Representative Mulder.
Mary, what fiscal note does the amendment carry?
We haven't asked for one since it's not adopted.
I would think it would be a substantial fiscal note, because if you're going to attempt to enforce this, adopt regulations to enforce it, seriously enforce it, it's going to cost a lot of money. I mean, realistically looking at it, if you're going to try and enforce bag limits going out there, you've got fishing game guys going out there onto the waterways enforcing fishing license.
We have bag limits and possession limits already, but they just don't include processed fish.
Well, I understand, but now you're talking about a whole other, you're going to have them going through the airports and going to different places. How else are you going to regulate it? How else are you going to enforce it?
Same way we do now.
I think, you know, we have a lot of bills, a lot of laws on our books today, Mr. Mulder, Representative Mulder, that aren't enforceable or can't be enforced. And we have the drugs that come into the state of Alaska, and we can't enforce that. So this is something to try to contain the fish that are going out. You know, in the past years, I used to fly to Seattle quite often, and I would have to go through the boxes from that wall to here, this high, of sport fish. Hundreds of pounds of sport fish.
Thousands.
And they're going out every day. So I don't know. We're trying to take care of that. Today we have a problem where you well know the sport fish and the commercial fish are at odds with each other, and both entities are supporting this amendment today. Representative Green?
If I could finish.
Representative Green?
Yeah, for
for my edification, we can now, people can come up, and local people can go out and sport fish and convert their fresh fish to processed fish. And what is it, other than the potential for enforcement, which might be expensive, that both the bill and the amendment do to alter the fact that people will, I mean, it's a voluntary thing. It's not requirement. That's as I understand it. That the people who catch the fish have the opportunity to go to have a process. They don't, they're not required to do that. What does this do? I mean, I'm not arguing with it. I'm just asking. What does the bill or the amendment either one do that we don't already have?
Yeah, it's not apparent, I guess. That.
Yeah, but we can't.
Now, a lot of people who sport fish take it home fresh or frozen.
Yes.
Because they don't pay for the custom processing, and if you take it in now and you're leaving the state, then you have to have it custom processed and shipped to you afterwards, mm-hmm. which is an expensive proposition. Most people take it fresh or frozen with them.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, people kind of say, I can only use so much fresh and frozen fish. It spoils after a while. My freezer's only so big. The concern is that if it's extremely easy, you just catch your fish, go to your processor, turn it in, get back your thing. You can stack up the smoked fillets and canned and so on, that there's the disincentive now is that people at some point say fresh and frozen is a little self-limiting, and that if it's extremely easy to just trade it in for something that's also easier to sell, something in a can, but, a smoked packet.
But we can do that now. I mean, they can do that now too.
They can have it custom done now and pay for the shipping, right? But
well,
it's
and
more expensive.
But they don't have, I mean, it depends on how long they're here, but they've got exchange right where you catch it. You want to exchange this for a can, for example.
You can't do that now. It's not legal. There are. It is happening in the state, but it's not legal.
How can they advertise it right there on the dock?
No, it's illegal.
Well, it's commercial.
Representative Davies?
I had a question back a while ago on the amendment, I wondered if you considered if the resistance in putting the two together and sending them down the road is the delay in implementation of the ability of the people to do the value-added processing. If you had considered allowing those things to go for, separating out the restriction, in other words, just dropping the restriction of the timing on it, allowing the board to put the regulations in whenever they get around to it, but at the same time allowing the industry, when the bill passes, so assuming that the bill would pass, that the industry could go ahead and start developing the processing. It would seem to me that it's going to take some time for this to rise to a level that's going to be a problem anyway, and that to the extent that it does get to be a problem, it would add pressure on the board to put the regs in place, and we would be giving them the ability put the regs with this legislation at the same time, so I wouldn't see a particular problem with just dropping that restriction. Both things would be then possible. Just a suggestion.
Representative Hudson.
I think we heard this bill last year, perhaps even before that, I'm not sure. First of all, sports fishermen are not permitted by law to sell their catch. They're not commercial fishermen. They have to have a commercial license in order to do that. Am I correct in that, Mary?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things this bill gets at is trying to provide for a legal ability for them to exchange it on some equal basis. And it sets up equal standards that you get back on a comparable basis to what you give in. But you're not selling it, and that's how we're getting around the commercialization of the sports fishing. The amendment adds a new element that has been expressed, and that is that the amount of fish is disproportionate. I mean, there's a great deal of violations, I think, of the bag limits and things of this nature going on, as evidenced by the amount of fish that, for example, is being shipped out of Elfin Cove. And there are many people, because it's out of an area to where we have normal fisheries enforcement people are looking at the bags and what kind of creel catch, creel accounts and things of this nature there. There's an awful lot of those fish that are being shipped out. Nobody knows what they are, but they know that there's vast quantities of it. And, of course, that takes the resource away from both the commercial, the sports fishing, and the guided sports fishermen. And so there's violations going on there, and I think that's what the amendment is trying to get to, is to figure out some way to control all of that. This is not unlike the game limitations we have. We, in our laws, we say that air transporters can only authorize the amount of game that is properly tagged and in accordance with the license. If there's more than that, they're not permitted. They're supposed to report them and turn them in. So that's a control mechanism they have in that instance. I'm just passing this on so that you'll understand what I heard before, you know. Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Mulder?
In response to that, you're precisely right. But the control limit is based upon your bag limit, mm-hmm. right? Likewise, it seems to me to be incongruent or inconsistent to say, well, we're going to allow you to catch three fish a day or two fish a day, as the case are with red salmon on the Kenai, but we're only going to let you take out three or four of those salmon if you stay for 10 days.
No, you can take out 20 if you stay for 10 days.
But we're allowing the Board of Fish to say, set up regulations. And why do we have confidence the Board of Fish is going to say, we're going to let you take out 20 fish if you stay 20 days? I don't think that's realistic.
Well,
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, the board clearly would be able to set limits lower than the 20 fish, because otherwise the concern that Representative Hudson expressed of all the boxes out there, those boxes at the airport would still be allowed, because theoretically all those fish were legally caught. It's just the accumulation mm-hmm. of a lot of them. The question I had was, somewhere in the previous discussion it came up that we now have a possession limit, we just don't have it on processed fish, and I'm having a hard time finding that as to where that, it seems to me we don't have, I can't find the authorization for any possession limit, even on raw fish.
It now doesn't pertain to what you can take with you, it's just what, like in Southeast you're allowed to take, you can have two daily bag limits in your possession at one time.
Now, I am. Maybe when we get to a fishing game person, that they'd be able to find. I'm just trying to find in the law.
I don't think it is. It's in regulation, isn't it, Dave?
It seems like we would have had to give them the power to set it, since we've been so specific in this section.
It says quotas and bag limits, but it doesn't say possession limits in current law.
Right.
We have somebody here from support. So
could we go on to the department and have them? The testimony. Thank you.
Sure, we can make one last comment. One of the concerns that came up early on that I didn't mention was an objection that commercial fishermen had to the original bill, but it's a fairly minor one, was that sport fishermen who are in the state now often buy canned and smoked fish to take home with them. And that is commercially caught, smoked and canned and mm-hmm. so on. And those sales would not happen anymore if it was so easy to just trade in your own for smoked and canned. Pretty minor concern, nobody raising big red flags, but it was mentioned as another concern.
Thank you, Mary. Any state agency people last part of fishing game or whoever?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Paul Krasnowski. I'm the director of the Division of Sport Fish. I don't have any prepared testimony for the committee at this time on either the bill or the amendment. I do have two quick comments. One, the department views this as other than a resource management issue. However, the bill and the proposed amendment are extremely timely based on the degree of public contact we have directly on these issues and through the Board of Fisheries process. Mr. Chairman, I've been involved in a number of Board of Fisheries meetings where these topics have been discussed and regulatory amendments proposed, regulatory action proposed, and I would be available to answer any specific questions on that. But the department at this time does not have a formal position.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you give me suggestions on the basis in the law for what may be existing possession limits? If there are existing possession limits, that question I just asked Mary a second ago.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein, in regulation at this time, the bag limit, the possession limit, the number of fish, sport caught fish a person may possess is set and may or may not be different than the daily bag limit. Fish is considered in possession until such time as it's processed. And processed is defined in such a way that it would include canned, smoked, hard frozen, not iced in a cooler, not lightly salted, but in some way put into a state of preservation and fit for human consumption after, I think, a period of, after a period of 14 days, I believe. Once it's processed, it no longer counts under the possession limit.
Mr. Chairman, the confusion I have is just where in the law those regulations come from. Is it, because we're adding a section here that says, that allows the department to set limits on, in this amendment, it would be allowing the department to set limits on the amount of raw and processed fish taken to support fishery. So clearly we're adding processed, but it appears we're also adding raw. That the department, if you just look at the face of this amendment, it looks like the department isn't now allowed to do raw. So there probably is some basis, other basis in the law that is what you base your regulations on that allow you to set a possession limit. And I'm just trying to figure out what that is.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein, I believe Title 16 sets out the board's authority to set bag and possession limits. Bag and possession limits would deal with raw or unprocessed fish, in my understanding. The board then promulgates regulations under Title 5 that set those specific bag and possession limits for a particular species in a particular area of the state. My understanding of the proposed amendment would be it would add an additional category, and that would be something frequently termed field limit. It would be a third aspect of control on the number of fish a person would have in some fashion. It would be the daily bag limit, the number of fish a person could take on a specific day, the possession limit, which would be unprocessed fish that the person could have in his possession in total in the field, and then a third level, which would be the field limit, and that would be the number of fish processed and unprocessed that the person could have in total away from his place of permanent residence. And I would, my understanding is that would all happen in the board process under their authority in Title V.
Mr. Chairman, it's something you can't provide now, but I still don't see the Title 16 you're talking about is what's before us in this amendment, because this is the where the Board of Fisheries is given its power to adopt regulations of what sections cover. So I'm just trying to find this where it says that you're allowed to adopt possession limits. If you could, it's just a basis. Maybe it's something to ask the legislative attorneys. I'm just trying to the source of the regulation.
Mr. Chairman, I think David, if you look at that very subsection 3 that we're amending here, setting quotas, bag limits, harvest levels, sex and size limitations on the taking of fish, is essentially the authorization for the Board of Fish to do all of the things that you're talking about. And the proposed amendment would be to add setting limits on the amount of raw and processed fish taken in a sport fishery that may be in possession. And I think that maybe to Representative Mulder, it's the taken in a sport fishery that makes him believe that somehow we're giving them some extraordinary powers here. But I don't think the intent is to upset the establishment that they already have for us setting quotas, but rather to try to control the amount that can be in possession in the field or in transit. I think those are the two effective words there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Representative Hudson is right. I think that probably is what they're basing it on, but it's still not clear to me that they can base it on that, because a quota isn't a possession limit. A bag limit isn't a possession limit. A harvest level isn't a possession limit. And sex and size limitations aren't possession limits. They're all different. And so maybe we could get a response from one of the attorneys at some point just so I can understand the existing law, because I'm just confused on that point.
Thank you, David. Representative Finkelstein. Representative Green.
I asked a question earlier, and Mary indicated that you cannot exchange, under present law, fresh fish for processed fish. You can't just say. Has that law been enacted since the late 70s? The reason I'm saying that is I almost did that when I was had been here long enough to be a resident, but I was still a chichaco in that I haven't developed the taste yet for fresh. I caught some fish in Homer, and there was this great big sign, exchange it for canned fish. And I almost did it, and the only reason I didn't do it is because I thought the exchange rate wasn't fair. So I kept the fresh fish and found out I had a mecca in mind. Now, is there a law against that, or is that something that's happened since I had this opportunity, or was there a crook there? This was a processor, but...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Green, I'm not certain when the law was passed. I can tell you that present law, and about as far back as I can remember, I believe that the constraint has been that you can take your fish into a custom pack or custom processor and have your product processed, but they're required by law to give you back your fish. It would not be literally an exchange. It would be a service provided to deal with your fish. I'm not certain that was enforced, and that may be where some of the businesses got into exchange. I'm not sure. I don't know of any law that was passed since then.
This was just a direct exchange, and I go on my way and they have the fish, but that's not legal.
No, Mr. Chairman, at this time, okay. That is not legal.
Okay, now I'm beginning to understand.
You sure you didn't do it, huh?
No, only because I'm Scotch. But, okay, so that begins to explain what this is all about. I'm sorry, thank you.
Are there any more questions? If not, thank you. Are there any more state agency people that would like to comment on this?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Bill Valentine, Director of Division of Fish and Wildlife Protection. I didn't sign up to testify. I didn't realize that this would be as controversial as it was. It was just handed to me this morning. But I think, even without any prepared testimony, I may be able to answer some of your questions. So with that, I'm open to questions.
Representative Davis.
Maybe you could respond to Representative Mulder's concern about fiscal note and enforcement costs.
Right now, it's really no different than what we got. What we've got now is really untenable. And for us to put in a fiscal note saying that it's going to cost us a bunch more, we really couldn't put a handle on it. But I do think, just from sitting here listening to the testimony and reading this, that I think it's going to go a little bit farther to help us to get a handle on the problem that we have now.
Are there any questions?
How would you do that?
Well, for now, it defines the possession limit in the field, and right now we don't have that. I also made a couple little notes here that before processed fish weren't counted in the possession limit after the person had taken them. Now they would be. And I think that there would be some record keeping with these processors that would give us an opportunity to go back to the processor and find out just the amount that was taken or the amount that was going out.
So following that same line of thought, if I may, Mr. Chairman, then you prefer this amendment to the letter of intent because the amendment requires the Board of Fish to act before the law would go into effect.
I think so, yes.
Thank you.
Bill, isn't a bag limit essentially the amount that you can have in the field or on your boat?
Yes.
For a day, I know.
Until it's processed.
Until it's processed. So what this would do would be to require that the board set up some sort of require regulations, I presume at any rate, on how to determine the quantity of processed fish that could be transshipped or shipped.
Yes.
Look, the problem that I see, Bill, in this thing is that I know that Super Bear and Foodland and all over the state of Alaska sell whole fish. I can go out there and buy a king occasionally when I have company coming and I haven't caught one myself, which is more frequent than I like. I buy one, you know. I feed it to them and then tell them how wonderful it was to catch it.
Representative Davis, Representative Green.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, as I'm slowly beginning to get on board the train here, will this, by enacting the law or the statute, excuse me, this bill and perhaps its amendment, right now there can be advantage taken of the amount of fish that are shipped out. And we acknowledge that, and it's going to be tough to find. If they convert that to canned or processed, will that help, other than the fact that there will be the processing done within the state? But I'm thinking just the antithesis of what you said, Representative Hudson, that if I'm coming up and I'm going out with obviously more than what I would have been entitled to convert, I just simply say I bought these extras because it's so good, I'm taking it back to my friends. And do I bypass because it's convenient and I can take a lot more canned than I can fresh? Are we creating more of a problem in enforcement?
Representative Green, that could conceivably happen. And, you know, without sounding facetious, you sound like you could be a pretty good violator.
Especially if I haven't eaten it fresh yet.
Well, he started early.
So. Yeah.
I, like I say, I'm real new to this bill and this process. I've been retired for a whole year. But I think the amendment and the bill is far better than what we have now.
Okay. Okay. Commercially caught fish in the commercially caught can would be labeled.
Okay. I would assume so.
Yes.
Okay. So there'll be a different label.
There wouldn't be a label probably on
the stuff that I convert.
Right.
What, to take the label
on that point, Mr. Chairman?
The other perpetrator.
Representative Davies.
Yeah, if you look at the bottom of page 4 and the top of page 5, section either, it does specify that this exchanged product would be labeled prominently not for sale, and provides that it may not be sold or bartered. So you could distinguish between, theoretically, between the stuff that's exchanged this way and stuff that you buy in the supermarket. So the enforcement guy should have a pretty good handle on that part of the problem. There's obviously ways to get
around. Oh yeah, sure.
But it would be clearly illegal.
Thank you, Mr.
I'm not sure I want to direct this to him. I just wanted to make a statement. You know, I'm back where I started. I see this, if this is a good idea, then it would seem to me that the quicker it takes effect, the better it would be. The letter of intent asks the Board of Fish to consider regulations, but doesn't require it before it kicks in, if I understood the matter correctly. Mm-hmm. But my question still is, you know, if we adopt the amendment, which then makes the whole thing pivot on whether or not the Board of Fish and Game do their thing, are we willing to wait the length of time it takes for them to decide to do it, and how long will that take? That's my only concern. If it's not a good idea to go with a letter of intent, then perhaps we shouldn't. But I'm worried about how long it'll take them to do the thing they need to do to make it go into effect.
Representative Hudson.
Mr. Chairman, I think that the bill is very good, because it's obvious that there's an awful lot of illegal commercialization of the sports fisheries.
Right.
And so what the bill is trying to do is to set up some parameters that makes the practice, obviously the practice is good, because somebody from Arizona that fishes in Juneau doesn't want to take back a whole frozen fish, but is really enamored with smoked fish or canned smoked fish. And right now there's no legal way he can do that unless he goes buying it, and then what's he going to do with his whole fish? This gives him options for sports and commercial guidance, commercial fishermen, I think, that legalizes the practice that's already taken place. And I think that's the whole intent here. I know that's why people like some of the small processors in Southeast Alaska are interested in the bill, because they want to see that happen. They're illegally doing it now. As you've said, they've probably been doing it for years.
We have
whether or not, Mr. Chairman, if I might continue on, whether or not the second set of that question now, so that's one intent, and that's the bill's intent, is whether or not we want to modify the bill by trying to tackle this other problem of controlling the amount of illegally caught fish from being transshipped outside the state of Alaska by amending this bill, is the question before the board. And I frankly am not prepared to, on my mind, and in my mind, as whether or not I want to do that. I'm interested in the bill. I'm interested in what the amendment wants to do, but I'm not sure that the amendment and the bill ought to go together, because I'm afraid that the amendment might muck up the bill.
That's not my intention to pass this bill today. We have that problem, and we we will try to solve it at that time. Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was asking questions previously to the Director of Division of Sport Fish on the basis of the law. I looked now and realized I was just confused that essentially there really is no difference between a possession limit and a bag limit in terms of what we're talking about for raw fish, and so it is already covered. It was just my confusion.
Okay. And as far as trying to get the board to do anything, it's not our intention to put any pressure on the board at this time. Hopefully the board will see that this is a good legislation and will act on it accordingly.
Well, I'm sure they won't, Mr. Chairman.
Well, it's the best that we have. You know, there's a lot of people that talk about what we do here in this legislation, and I can tell you there's a lot of people upset with us also.
Oh, but we know that, Mr. Chairman. The bill with the letter of intent kicks in right away, and you have the benefit of the bill without the necessity for the board to act. It yeah. might be better not to do the amendment. It could
yes.
be.
Yes, I agree with you, okay. Representative Kernan. With this, I'd like to go to Juno here. I think we have someone here that has a time constraint. I'd like to give some testimony. Paul Johnson.
Yeah, my name is Paul Johnson. I've had a charter boat out of Elfin Cove since about 1975. I guess just to clarify a couple of things. One is that you presently can take a fish in to somebody and have them process it, and then you get that same fish back. What this does is this expedites the exchange, so I can take a fish in and I can immediately get something. It may not be my same fish back. So the difference is that obviously you don't have to wait to have it sent to you or anything else. You can take your bag limit and you can go in and bingo, it's coming out. We've watched in our community the lodge industry grow extensively. Realistically, one of the lodges out of the five, including myself, have gone into our own limits that we put on our customers. It's realistic. We think it's essential. I guess I grew up in coal storage down here. My father managed it for many years, and we used to have public lockers, and I know what can happen out of freezers and public lockers. Something that's reasonable for somebody to take home. The one lodge limits to 50 pounds, the other lodge limits to 75. Most of them don't limit at all. When somebody takes home, and you're allowed 2 halibut a day, a couple of king salmon a day, and somebody takes home 200-300 pounds of product, we're talking a major export. And I think that's what we're looking at as far as I'm for the bill. I think it's a great thing for several reasons, and one that was missed is that having good product of fish product out there in the lower 48 for people to eat instead of just stuffed in a plastic bag and frozen. Mm-hmm. But you want to make sure that they're not doing this on a major 200-300 pound level. So it does go hand in hand, because now you can just go in and exchange it when this bill passes immediately. And people are going to do it in a big way. Canada's got an export limit, and I'm certain that it would affect Alaska's business if our export limit was smaller than Canada's export limit as far as charter industry goes. But it is not unrealistic to have at least the same. I guess it's hard for me to understand, you know, we're in a kind of a fight between the sport and the commercial, but this is aside from that. This is a public resource that is no different to me than oil. And I don't know how many people would be willing just to casually give away barrels of oil. We wouldn't do it. One deer tag, when I take somebody hunting, one deer tag is $135 for a little deer in Southeast Alaska. People pay dearly for that. But to casually take these beautiful king salmon and take 200-300 pounds of them out of state just doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a lot of fear with the Board of Fish, but I think they're, on something like this, are going to be reasonable, timely, hopefully. I'm sure they'd step on it right away, you know, because I think there's some advantages to the bill. But having some kind of non-resident export limit, the ability to put that there, because this is now an exchange, That's what we're looking at. I'm not looking at the resident person. I'm not looking at the person here that, that leaves Juneau and goes out on their boat and comes back. This is not what this is going to affect. And this is not where we're seeing the problems. This is not what we're seeing in the airports. It's your non-resident take. Thank you.
We have a question. Representative Mulder. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. Paul, I couldn't agree with you more. My fears don't pertain or don't relate to the so-called meat hunters or the non-resident export guys. My fears really translate to the folks, to the fishermen who travel up and down. If I travel down to Elk and Cove, I want to be able to take home what I catch. Mm-hmm. And I probably won't stay for 5 days, or, but I'd like to be able to, whatever I caught, take home, put in the freezer. And that's really the point, the objection that I raised. But your point about non-resident export limit, Mary, is that possible? I mean, does this pertain to a non-resident, or is that constitutionally allowed? Can we discriminate?
Export limits violate interstate commerce law. That's where we get to this in transit to your place of residence, which is the best way we could think of to get at it, because most Alaskans, after you've caught several days of fish, you get to your home and you put it away, and it doesn't count anymore. You can go back out.
Yeah.
So it's a legal way of getting at the bulk of the problem with the minimum damage to any Alaskan.
But what Paul told us or implied there is that this doesn't pertain to us. It's going to pertain to non-residents.
It doesn't pertain to us if you get home every few days.
Flying in and out of Juneau, that could be a problem.
Well, you got to eat them where you're at, they'll be glad.
You eat them in the field, you know.
Thank you. We'll go to my favorite place. Bet you guys can't guess where that is. We'll go to Ketchikan. There's a Mr. Ken Dole. Testify, please, and give your name and state your name, who you represent.
Yeah, Senator Williams, members of the Resource Committee. My name is Ken Dole. For those who don't know me, I'm managing partner of Waterfall Resort. We can handle up to 84 people a day. We operate 25 guided charter boats. We offer rack rates at $745 per day per person. Our company contributes approximately $2 million annually to the local economies. There seems to be a tremendous amount of discussions on the rampant violations going on in the sport industry, and I think specifically targeted towards the guided sport industry. I wish somebody, Fish and Game or whomever is bringing all these things up, would make a list of them and verify that they even exist. We have statements said about us at Board of Fish meetings and the papers continuously about the huge amounts of volume of fish that come out of Waterfall Resort. We handle 80 people a day. Yes, we take a lot of fish. We do not violate bag limits. We have no violations in our 10-year history related to fishing violations. None. I don't believe the issues relative to the rampant violations of sport fishing take limits exist, and I don't believe there's any proof for it. And I wish somebody, if there is, I wish we could find out about it so we could do something about it, so our industry doesn't continually get beaten up over all this innuendo and this misproven statement that there's this rampant violation going on in our industry. Continually, people talk about the tremendous amount of boxes in the airport. Mr. Williams, you just stated the same thing. I fly almost as much as anybody. I'm out of this community a lot, and I am over at that airport a lot. I never see a lot of fish boxes. The one thing you will never see in the airport in Ketchikan is a waterfall fish box, because our fish boxes are tagged at the resort. They're taken on the tarmac directly from the airplane float. They never see the lobby of an airport, so nobody even sees our fish boxes. Anyway, over that issue, to get back to the reality of the situation, the board already had the ability to establish possession and export limits. There is no proof that the sport take will go up due to this bill. This whole concept appears to be an effort to solve the perceived problem that currently exists prior to the effects of the bill. This is an issue that is supposed to be solved by the Board of Fish, an issue that has been brought to the Board of Fish many times in the last several years, and the Board of Fish has determined that it is not necessary. Based on the info that's coming out of Mr. Williams' office, including this bill and the recent memos related to moratorium, it is obvious that this is entirely an effort to further
Mr. Dole, this is Representative Bill Williams. No one is saying that we are trying to cut the limits or restrict the limits here in this bill. We are trying to are breaking the limits today. We aren't saying that. We're trying to contain. I don't know, Mr. Dole. I have flown out of Ketchikan while I was working out of Cape Fox, and I'd go maybe three times a week out of Ketchikan. And believe me, Mr. Dole, I had to weave my way through those boxes of salmon. I don't know when you fly, but I did it quite often during the summer months. There's a question here from Representative Hudson.
Mr. Dole, you say that you don't think we need the bill, and certainly, obviously, not the amendment. Do you not see from, for example, Silver Linings' point of view, that a legal ability to immediately exchange a fresh frozen fish for a comparable quantity of processed fish would be a constructive and positive measure?
Certainly, if you left the bill alone without the amendment, I think there would be some benefit to both the guided sport, the resident sport, or unguided sport, and the commercial processors. I mean, the sheer fact that my understanding is that a commercial processor, E.C. Phillips, was the one that really pushed this bill in the first place, our guests would, in fact, take advantage of this situation. But the undertone of this whole bill is you're trying to put a further restriction on the amount of fish that guided sport can take. And there's no reason to tie those two together. If you want to further limit guided sport fishing, then do a new bill. Don't tie it to this one and let it stand on its own merit. Let this bill stand on its own merits. There's no proof that the guided sport industry and the take will dramatically increase because of the ease of exchanging fish for process for value-added fish. Thank you.
Representative Davies has a question for you. Or Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dole, I appreciate your testimony. The In trying to understand what these new limits on guided sport fishing would be, you're speaking of limits that would be on the export of processed fish. That's what would be the new limit?
Yeah. Basically, what the legislature, in my impression, is going to do by this amendment is they are going to send a message to the Board of Fish that the legislature wants them to establish possession limits on unprocessed fish. And since there is no possession limits on processed fish, I'm sorry, and determining all fish to be under a possession limit. Currently, possession limits only apply to unprocessed fish. The act of processing a fish virtually means cleaning the fish and freezing it. So such as out at Waterfall, as long as we bring the fish back every day, process it, put it in the freezer, it no longer counts against the possession limit. So when you include raw product or all product, including processed product, in a possession limit, you are definitely going to further limit the amount that a guided sport or actually everybody, I should deal with only our industry, is able to take if they can't take it to their place of residence. So, and then you leave the concept up to the Board of Fish, and again, the Board of Fish has been and currently is controlled by commercial fishing interests. And so consequently, it's, you know, the belief that you're basically going to throw us to the wolves, and of course you can think that, yes, the Board of Fish is going to treat us fairly, and I don't believe that's happened at this point, and I don't believe it's going to continue to happen. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Joel. I understand the concern in theory. In practice, though, under the status quo, are there a significant number of your clients that are exporting large amounts of processed fish under the status quo?
We operate, we average a 3.5-day stay for our clientele. And in that 3.5 days, in the peak of the silver season, it is an unusual
appreciate that point. The question I was asking was a little different than that. Is with your clients now, I realize a lot of them are taking out, you know, close to their limit of, or some portion of their limit of raw fish, but are there a significant number of your clients now who are taking out that same volume in processed fish? Because that's the only effect that this amendment's going to have is on processed fish.
Well, that's not the way I understand the amendment. The amendment would include all fish in possession limits. And currently there are possession limits on a variety of species, and my understanding is king salmon, the possession limit is only one day. So if that possession limit remained in place with this redefinition of possession limit, including both processed and unprocessed fish, then that would mean that my guest could only take two king salmon for his entire trip. So not only would they rewrite the possession limit information, but they would also have to change that possession limit up from what it is currently today. If I'm understanding you, a lot of our guests currently custom process through Silver Lining, and I believe that more of our guests would use the custom processing if they were able to exchange at the resort. I do not believe that it would increase whatsoever our fishermen's desire to catch more fish, because they're basically looking at bag limits as it is now, and they determine whether or not they want to process fish based on the cost of the custom processing and whether or not they like the value-added product.
Well, I think this gets back to some of the questions I was trying to clarify before with the director of Sport Fish. But what's implied in your answer is that there is some effect on the limits on raw fish. What we are told is that there isn't. They have the power to do that now. There doesn't have to, the decision on the relation between the harvest limit and the possession limit is a decision they already make in raw fish, and they can remake again based on circumstances. That the only thing that's occurring here is the addition of a limit on essentially on export of processed fish, that all the other aspects you're speaking about are already allowed under existing law.
Right. They currently have possession limits based on raw fish. And the change, that the way I understand it, is that possession limit now would apply to all fish, whether processed or unprocessed. And I think something else that's critical to understand is at this point in time, a fish is processed merely by cleaning the fish and freezing it. And so, like in our situation where person goes out for a day, they come back and they have their fish processed, they no longer have any fish in possession because they have no raw fish. They don't have any possession fish again until the next day.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Dole. We'll go to Sitka, Bill Foster.
Thank you, Representative Williams and the House Resources Committee members. I'm Bill Foster, President of the 52-member Sitka Charterwood Operators Association. I have three commercial trawlers sitting right across from me here, so I guess I better be careful what I say, but I do want to say we get along pretty well here in Sitka. Even though we have some differences, we try to continue to talk about this. Three of our members are sport fish processors, by the way, and they're not here today. Our group has not taken a stand on this. For some reason, we've had many other issues in the past few weeks, and we haven't been able to meet and talk about this. But my recollection in talking to those three sport fish processors, they had mixed feelings on it. One in particular really didn't like the idea because of quality, but one who did some canning, I think, thought it would give them an option. I don't want to get into the endless airport box debate. At this time, I think that, again, is another issue that's been talked about considerably. I could see that this bill could increase the export because of it would be cheaper. Right now in Sitka, these processors, and they do a great job, and I think it's really been helpful to us and the guided sport fishery to have them getting a good quality product. But many of them, again, ship the fish later by some of the courier services, FedEx, and UPS, FedEx, I think, especially here in Sitka. Going back to the original bill, I guess my experience with my clients, I can't remember one that didn't want their own fish. My experience experience is that most of my clients want their own fish because they know how well that I've taken care of them and they've taken care of them. So I guess the bill would give some options to these sport processors, but from my viewpoint, most people want their own fish. I do have concerns about export limits. I'm very aware, and I think we all are, that King salmon especially are politically very valuable, and we work very hard for each one of them. But I think the export limit is a different issue, and I would not like to see it linked to this particular bill. So they really are two issues. And in closing, we are working on wide use ethics within our industry right now. Of course, there's a planned tagging program with the International Pacific Halibut Commission that would work through charter boats, and the charter boats would do the funding of it, which would allow us maybe to offer lots of fishing experience to our clients, but actually save some of those large halibut and a lot of the meat going out. And also be aware, of course, and I know many of you are, that there are issues similar to this about export that are being talked about in the North Pacific Council process. And I know Joe Ambrose is keeping track of that with some other bills related to that. So we've got these issues on several fronts. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, House Resources Committee members.
Thank you. Again, it's not my intention to move this bill today. There has been a lot of question about how we will deal with both the bill itself and amendment, and I'm glad to hear what you have to say, Mr. Foster. Next, we'll go to Valdez, James Keston. Thank you, Mr. Heston. There are no limits today on how much you will be able to take out of the state or out of anywhere. What we're trying to do, and the bill that is before us today, unamended, is gives the chance of taking more processed fish. We're trying to get a hold on it, and we'll be working on this for a little while. We'll go to Homer. Mr. Ed Dersham.
My name is Ed Dersham. I'm president of the Anchor Point Charter Association, and I'm a lodge fishing lodge owner in the Anchor Point area. First of all, I'd like to say that I believe this is a perceived problem, not a documented one. These stories about the fish boxes at the airports and everywhere else have been floating around for a long, long time. And there's no documented biological or scientific evidence to support the claim that there's any widespread abuse of this nature. On the contrary, the Department stocking fish and support the commercial fishing interests via an export proposal that is thinly veiled as something other than an export proposal. Mary McDowell, Representative Williams' office, stated to me that we can trust the Board of Fisheries to set reasonable limits under the amendment because they would have no motivation to do otherwise. Past export proposals before the Board of Fish, backed by commercial fishing interests, have sought to set the export limits at one daily bag limit of sport-caught fish. Given this fact and that the Board of Fish is still heavily dominated by commercial fishing interests, sport fishermen and charter operators in Alaska cannot support this amendment with a reasonable hope, unreasonable hope, that any limit set would be fair to sport fishermen. As a lodge owner, my business is based on clients who stay with us 4 to 7 days. Each fisherman returns home with no more than 5 king salmon and no more than 10 halibut, based on a 7-day stay. They pay us approximately $250 a day per angler for the package. Any export limits set lower than these amounts of fish would severely impact our business. Our fishing packages reflect an economically sound utilization of resources, and any restrictions that damage our business without biological justification are unreasonable. The goal of Senate Bill 153 seems to be a sound one. Creating a situation encouraging a value-added factor to the fisheries resource makes good economic sense, but the proposed Amendment K-2 does not. Amendment K-2 has potential for unreasonable harm to sport fishermen, charter operators, and lodge owners. Given the fact that there's no biological problem and that the raw fish for processed fish trade makes good economic sense to the state, why is the amendment needed in any form? Why shorten the number of days a non-resident angler would choose to stay and fish in the state? Every day they stay, they contribute to the state's economy in many different ways, and every fish they catch represents a wise economic utilization of the resource. The provision in this amendment allowing this limit to be set by the board statewide without regard to regulations regarding scheduling of areas of the state is unfair and further raises the suspicions of sport fishermen. It seems to encourage the board to take this issue up in a meeting at a size and time that limits access to the process to those most affected by it. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll come back here to Juno for Bill Hurd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bill Hurd. I'm a 34-year resident of Alaska, presently living in Auk Bay. I'm here today to represent myself and to speak on behalf of a nonprofit group of concerned citizens, primarily of traditional sport fish anglers, the Alaska Resident Sport Anglers Association. A matter of much concern to our group is the rapid growth of the commercial guided sport industry and the vast quantities of sport caught fish this industry is helping to export from the state. Senate Bill 153 concerns the exchange of raw fish legally caught in sport fisheries for processed fish. This bill contains many good points, and if enacted into law, it could provide a very useful service that many in the sport fishing community, including both guided and unguided anglers, would appreciate and use. However, it is my belief that by itself, this bill could also create a mechanism that could be badly abused under current legal definitions of possession limits. By itself, the bill might cause even greater amounts of sport fish beyond all rational levels to be shipped from Alaska by greedy, misguided anglers. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, the proposed amendment is an essential component that must be included in the bill. One of the main reasons I choose to live and work in Alaska is the access to participate in recreational sport fishing as a resident angler. My family, my children, my grandchildren all have strong dependence on access to sport fishing in our waters and to the frugal and wise use of our catch as an important part of our lifestyle, our diet, and our deep appreciation and respect for our fishery resources. Current definitions of the sport fish possession limit allow clients of a fishing lodge or charter operation with freezing or other facilities for preserving fish to ship home an amount of fish limited only by the number of days fished. A 10-day trip would allow a client to take home 10 daily bag limits, often amounting to several hundred pounds of preserved fish, and we've all heard about the fish boxes. Sport angling for king salmon in Southeast is now under tightly controlled catch quotas, and there is strong and growing competition between guided sport and non-guided sport anglers for access to the limited number of fish. With a 2-day fish bag limit, that 10-day lodge trip I mentioned could involve shipping up to 20 large king salmon out of the state by one client. Mr. Chairman, many resident Alaska anglers spend a lifetime of satisfied and highly rewarding sport fishing and never catch half that many king salmon in total. There are also anecdotal accounts of guided sport operators stockpiling sport caught fish for present and future clients. And perhaps worst of all, and we've heard of those, accounts of vacation cost recovery schemes through the later illegal sale of sport-caught Alaska fish in other areas. In summary, Senate Bill 153 could provide a useful and welcome service to the recreational fishing community of Alaska only if the proposed amendment regarding possession limits on raw and processed fish taken legally in a sport fishery is included in the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you. For the record, Representative Bundy at tier 940.
Left his deathbed to come to see you.
Thank you. We'll go to Kenai Sadatna, Rod Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Rod Berg. I live at 266 Rollins Court in Soldotna, Alaska. I'm opposed to the draft amendment K2 to CSSB 153. That is, I'm opposed to possession or export limits. The amendment appears to be another backdoor approach by commercial fishing interests to stymie the sport fishing entity, particularly the sport charter industry. The state has no business dictating the amount of food, fish, a resident or non-resident chooses to possess, as long as that amount is within biological limits set within fish and game regulations. This is the United States, not Canada. I think after review by the state attorney general, you will find that the K2 amendment will be found to be unconstitutional. Respectfully request that any attempts to have export limits be removed from HB 153, particularly the K2 amendment. The notion of meat hunter is not necessarily something we should discourage. We have daily bag limits so people can take home a quality product, a quality meat product or fish product. What you are trying to do here is create a new unenforceable law. And for those individuals who eat a lot of fish, you are trying to force them to purchase commercially caught fish. This seems to be a sort of price fixing scam promulgated by greedy commercial interests. Nearly all non-resident guests who use my services request a professionally processed vacuum sealed product. This service is rendered at a commercial cannery in the Kenai area. This equals jobs. The last stop before leaving the Kenai area is to pick up this professionally processed product. I can prove to you that over 50% of our guests purchase additional products, that is, commercially caught crabs, scallops, shrimp, smoked salmon, and halibut. If this export limit were to become law, you can see the confusion that would be created by opening boxes of frozen fish at airports. Liability to the state of Alaska